Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Flandis.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just thought it would sound good if we spruced it up a little.
If we what? It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to get this show on the road.
It's the Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandis Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gaps between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a relentless pursuit.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Philandis.
And Tamika.
And we just want to take the time out to thank you guys for tuning in and joining us again for Relentless Pursuit. We also want to take the time to give a special shout-out, like we do every week, to our network owner, Coach D. And we had a request yesterday to give a shout-out to our silent angel. He knows who he is. We want to thank you for supporting us and continuing to encourage us the way that you do. And so tonight we have a very special topic. At least I like to think it's very special. I know that a lot of us as believers, it should be all of us, that we are constantly in a season of waiting on God. And when I say constantly, I don't mean waiting for the same exact thing. So God gives us promises, both I would like to call them universal promises and personal promises. And we're always kind of just waiting for those personal promises to come to pass, depending on how big they are or, you know, how extensive they may be. And so tonight we're just going to be talking about how we wait on God and the process that we go through before we get to the manifestation of that promise. And so I'll be having maybe three or four subtopics. At first, I want to kind of just establish what God's promises are to us, kind of just address the issue of whether or not we believe those promises. I want to talk about our process that we go through. I want to call it the grooming process and productive waiting. And so basically, when I mentioned the idea of there being universal promises, if you've taken any amount of time to study the Word of God, it's full of promises for every single person who identifies as a believer in Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest promises that we have available to us is found in John 3:16, and that's, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him shall have eternal life and not perish." And so basically we're promised eternal life if we believe in Jesus. And that's, to me, that's the greatest promise that we could ever have. It's easy. It's not hard. It doesn't take any work. You believe. You don't have to say a thousand chants of anything. You just believe in Christ. And one of my second favorite promises that we have available is in the 6th chapter of Matthew. It talks about a lot of different things, but verse 33 talks about if you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, all of these things, quote unquote, will be added unto you. And these things, if you read in, I believe it's verses 31 and 32, it's talking about the different things that people kind of worry themselves over. So some people may be worried about food. They may not have money for food. They may not have money to buy clothes. And Jesus was talking about how people, he referred to them as pagans. They worry about those things. They chase those things. But the person who makes it a priority to seek the will of God, to seek the things of God out for their lives, God will provide that and more. So it's all about your priorities with that promise. And then for anybody on the line that deals with anxiety or worry, sometimes I deal with that a lot. Sometimes I deal with that a lot. That's kind of a contradiction, but it's true. And so it talks about how if you don't worry and you don't have anxiety and instead you give your worries to God through prayer, then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will come to you. That's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And then the last one I want to talk about, this isn't just for young people. This is for people of all ages because we all have parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, it talks about how we're promised long life if we honor our mother and our father. And yes, it does say children, honor your mother and your father, but we're all children. We have parents. That's how we got here. So all of us are children, and we're all to honor our parents, and we'll have long life. And so those are some examples of what I like to call the universal promises. But then we get down to the individual promises that God gives to us in our personal interaction with him. And Tamika and I will be talking about some personal examples from our own life. But before we get to that, I kind of just wanted to explore three examples that I thought was easy to understand from the Bible. And the first being the promise that God gave to Abraham. Before he became Abraham, his name was Abram. And God spoke to him, and he promised him that he would be a father of many nations. At the time that he spoke this promise, Abraham was about 100 years old. And we know today, if you got somebody that's 100 years old, chances are they're probably not having sex. They're probably not even thinking about that. Their bodies are probably unable. And so that's in our day. But back then, it was a little less unlikely than it is now. And so when God spoke this promise to Abraham that not only was he going to be a father of many nations, but that he was going to have a son in his old age. And to top it off, his wife, Sarah, she was barren. And so for God to speak this promise that seemed way over the top, like, hey, you're 100 years old, but you're going to be a father of many nations. I know you don't have kids right now, but your wife is going to get pregnant, and y'all are going to have a son, and he's going to be blessed. And through him, all of the nations are going to be blessed, like countless generations. And so that's one of the promises that I really like, because it's one of the most, depending on who you are, it's kind of one of the most difficult promises to believe because of what the natural circumstances are. And then the next one is about Noah. So when Noah built this ark, I don't want to necessarily say that this promise was to him directly, but I want to word it a little differently. God basically promised Noah that he and his family would survive the flood whenever God decided that he was going to flood the earth and destroy mankind because of all the sin that was going on. And so God promised Noah, hey, I'm going to protect you and your family. And he also promised Lot, who was in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Before God destroyed that city, he also promised Lot that he would be protected, not just him, but him and his entire household. And so those are the three promises that I'm going to be focusing on tonight as far as biblical examples go. And then, so when we get into our next topic here, it's do you believe him? And we're going to explore the different ways that Abraham, Noah, and Lot responded to God's promise. And so I don't know how many of you have been on Facebook within the past week, but God was kind of dealing with my heart this past week with faith. He was dealing very, very heavily on faith. And he led me to the scripture in James chapter 2, verse 24, where it talks about a man being justified and declared righteous by what he does, and not just his faith alone. So basically what he does as a result of his faith. And so his actions as a result of what he believes is what justifies him as a righteous man. And so with that, let's explore some of the things, some of the actions that Abraham, Noah, and Lot took in order to justify whether or not they believed God. I'm not talking about just initially, but overall. And so with Abraham and Sarah, if you read in Genesis 17, where the story about God giving him this promise first takes place, Sarah laughed when she overheard the angels of the Lord telling Abraham that he was going to have a child and he was going to be a father of many nations. She laughed. And it wasn't because it was funny. It was just because she knew that, one, she was barren and she was about 90-something years old, and Abraham was 100. And she laughed because she's like, okay, God, you're crazy. I'm not about to have a baby. I can't have kids. And we're senior citizens. So we're senior citizens. How is this going to happen? So she laughed, and it was like she kind of believed, but she didn't. And the reason why I say that is because she heard what God had said, and she wanted to believe. And so she kind of came up with her own plan. She decided, okay, well, since I can't have kids and God did say this, let me try to help him bring this promise to pass. So I'm going to have my husband sleep with my assistant. And then she going to get pregnant. And so the promise is still going to happen. It's just not going to be with me. And so she suggested that Abraham sleep with Hagar. And Abraham messed up because he did, even though he was the one that got the word from God. So here we see how Abraham and Sarah, their actions were a result of their initial belief. They heard God, but if you're justified as a righteous or faithful person as a result of what you do as a result of your faith, that's not, we see here that they didn't really believe what God had said. And so that was their initial reaction. And then with Noah actually decided to take God at his word. So imagine this. I kind of wanted to animate it a little bit. So let's say you're in the hottest place on earth. I've never been everywhere on earth, so I'm just going to say, let's say I was in Egypt, because I went to Egypt in 2014, and it was 120 degrees on a regular basis there, every day, all day. So let's say I'm in Egypt, and it's 120 degrees, there's no clouds in the sky, the sun is just like right up in the middle of the sky all the time, it never sets, it seems like, because it's just always hot. And God tells me that He's going to cover the entire city of Cairo, which is where I was at. He's going to cover the entire city of Cairo with snow, like not just the cute little snow flurries, but there's going to be the worst blizzard that I've ever seen is going to happen in Cairo. And He wants me to start building a house that's like 30 feet tall. It has 97 rooms and like 8 furnaces so that we can stay warm, right? And so naturally, there is no evidence that it's, one, going to get any cooler than what it's been, and especially not any snow, okay? So those are the natural circumstances. God is speaking this word, this promise, in the midst of a place where it's completely contradictory, okay? And so let's say that Noah was in that place, a place that's always hot. It's like a desert. It never rains. And they've never even heard of snow, let alone seen it. And God says, hey, I'm going to flood not just where you're at, but I'm going to flood the entire world, and I don't want you to die or your family to die. So I want you to build this ark so that when it starts raining, the ark can float on top of the water, okay? And He don't say anything else. He just tells them, build the ark. It's going to rain. Everybody's going to die except for you and your family if you build this ark. And then He just drops the mic and walks away. So if you picture that, like, that's crazy. It takes some real faith to kind of just grab a hold of that word and believe it. And so with that, Noah just decided, okay, you God, I believe you. I'm going to go ahead and build this ark. And I can imagine that while he's building this ark, people don't know what he's building. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that he told anybody what God said. And don't take my word for it, because I'm not a theologist or a theologian or whatever you want to call it. So I don't know. I didn't do any studies. I'm just going by what I've read. He didn't tell anybody what God said. I'm sure the circumstances, naturally, the weather was not indicating that the world was going to be flooded. But he still chose to believe God. And then with Lot, whenever God promised that he would be protected from the destruction of the city in Sodom and Gomorrah, he gathered his family together when the angels came, and he left. And God said, don't look back, and Lot didn't look back. Lot's wife did, but he didn't. And so the reason why I'm pointing this stuff out is because I want to kind of highlight the difference between active belief and you just confessing what God said. Because if you're justified, if your faith is proved by what your actions are, as it says in James 2 and 24, what are your actions proving? Are your actions proving that you actually believe the promises that God gave you, or are they proving that you don't and you have a better way? And so in my own personal life, even with this radio show, you can ask both Tamika and I, even though Coach D, you know, she got a word from God, she got an impression from the Holy Spirit to reach out to us and ask us to do this radio show. It was completely random to us. And I went to college and I studied communications. And originally, I was one of those students that changed my major like 17 different times. I started off as a journalism major, then I went to be a psychology major, and then I wanted to do art. And when I changed it to art, I got a confirmation email saying, thank you, your declaration of your major has been accepted. Welcome to the Communication and Media Arts Department. And I was like, I didn't choose this. And God stopped me right before I was about to change it. And he said, keep it as that. I want you to keep it as communication. So I did. And lo and behold, I started learning about all this stuff that has acted as a tool of preparation for what I'm doing now. And I'm still growing. You know, I had to learn about broadcast arts. I had to learn about effective communication, oral, written, and nonverbal. So that, you know, deals with body language. I had to learn about all of that stuff. And so God started dealing with me and telling me that he was going to provide a platform for me to be able to speak to people on. And I just kind of looked at that as like, okay, well, maybe it'll be that I'll go out to different places and pray for people. But no, that's not what he was talking about. So he spoke this promise to me that I would have a platform to speak to people on. And this radio show is the first manifestation of that promise. And so in preparing for that, because he spoke that to me, I could have chosen to give in to my fear and not allow the preparation to happen. I could have decided to change my major to something that I wanted it to be. But instead, I submitted to that process. I kept the communication major. I learned everything that I needed to learn, and I started implementing what I was learning. In different classes, you do have to put on presentations and demonstrate what you're learning. And so this is the first manifestation of that, despite what I wanted, despite my fears, because I tell people this all the time. Every time I get ready to speak publicly or even on the radio show, I get nervous. The whole inside of my body is trembling. I'm sweating, and it could be 20 degrees outside, and I could be sweating bullets. But it's what I'm called to do, and it's a promise that God gave me, so I have to go ahead and do that. And so before I move on, I just kind of wanted to have Tamika share something that God promised her and what her actions were that lined up with her faith in that promise that God gave her.
God ain't never promised me nothing.
Right.
I'm still trying to figure out where the promise is at, because I ain't seen him yet. No, but I would say when God, there are a lot of things that God has promised me as it relates to ministry. And I would say that I'm still in the preparation stages.
We all are.
Of that. When I first started developing my relationship with God, I got probably a prophecy every time I went to church, every church service, didn't matter what city I was in. I got a lot of prophetic words as it related to my ministry, as it related to where God was going to position me. Some of them I can't share publicly. A lot of them I shouldn't share publicly because it's so big that I don't want nobody else's voice on it but God. And so I think that's also important before I go into the promise, just for anybody listening. Some things that God promised you, you have to really be careful who you share that promise with, because you don't want their lack of faith of God keeping his promise in your life to interfere with what you believe, you know. And so sometimes when people don't believe or they say something is crazy, then the enemy can try and use that and put it in your mind to put you in a place of doubt and disbelief, and you start questioning whether or not God promised you that, and then, you know, you all up in an emotional uproar, like, going back and forth in your mind. And so with that being said, being careful who you tell your promises to. So some of them I can't share, but some of them as it relates to just in ministry and being called to a group of people. As you all know, I was able to help Philandis come out of a lifestyle of homosexuality. And at the time, I wasn't aware that that was a calling that God had on my life. I thought it was just kind of like a one-time deal, one-stop shop. God gave me some grace. I helped her come out. Boom, let me go about my life. And it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years later that God started speaking to me that it wasn't a one-time thing, and this was actually something that I'm calling you to. And you're going to be able to help a whole lot of people, a whole lot more people than you can ever count or imagine. And at the time that he was telling me this, I didn't share it with anybody, you know, and he promised me that, you know, there were certain things, if I'm obedient in these ways, that he would complete his promise. And so in the midst of that, the first thing I had to do was get the whole vision of the promise and then trust that God, that I didn't have to go and then try to make the promise come to pass, but I had to listen to God for the steps of obedience. And so if my step of obedience was to, you know, now, okay, I promise you this, in the steps of obedience for preparation, you need to go on this fast, or you need to read these books, or you need to study this this content in the Bible, or you need to spend time with me to get a revelation about the people that I've called you to. And so right now I'm still in that place. I can't, and I'm just now, okay, so God gave me that word back in 2011, and I'm just now seeing manifestations of that promise. I'm just now seeing God bring other people in my life to mentor out of a lifestyle homosexuality. I'm just now seeing God help me put together an organization that will be able to help the masses in the world. I was going to say the country, but really it's the world. And so it's been 5 years since God promised me that, and I'm just now seeing the itty-bitty, little bitty steps of manifestation come to pass. But I'm taking those, and it's the little bitty steps that get us to the big picture. And so, you know, there are small promises that God has given me as it relates to my personal relationship with Him. You know, one of the things that He told me was that if you're obedient in everything that I've called you to do, I'll give you whatever you want. Whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. Now, I can't say that He gives me whatever I want when I want it, but I will say most people that knows me very closely know if I ask God for something, 9 times out of 10, it's good enough, it's mine. And just the example of that, years ago, I used to have a little PT Cruiser. It was my first car my dad bought for me. And I was in college, and I totaled it. And I had to get a not-so-nice PT Cruiser. Now, mind you, this first PT Cruiser had, like, TVs and a headrest, sound system. It was chrome rims, everything. It was beautiful. My favorite car, my first car, and I totaled it. It was an ice storm in Michigan. I totaled it in college. And so with that, I had to take the money and get a not-so-nice PT Cruiser. It was just very basic, very just not cute at all, okay? I don't want to sound too shallow, but for the sake of the story, I hated that car. And I remember back in 2012, I was in San Antonio staying with my father, and I remember I asked God, I was like, God, I want a new car. Like, I'm sick of this car. And I heard Him speak to me. He said, if you take care of this car and treat it like it's a new car, I'll give you a new car. And I was like, cool. I started cleaning. I cleaned that car out that day probably about 5 times, thinking He was about to give me a new car tomorrow. But what I started doing was I started treating that car like it was a new car. I took it. I got it washed every week. I cleaned it out every week. I took care of it, make sure that I got the oil changed when it needed to, the tires rotated. Like, I really started treating it like it was a new car. People couldn't eat in it. It was dirty. It was already not, like, it was an old car. But I was treating it like it was a new car. And then I remember in 2013, there was one of my friends, also a minister at the Potter's House, had come to San Antonio to visit. This is his first time seeing my car. And mind you, this is a whole year that I had been treating my PT Cruiser like a new car. And he saw my car. We were getting ready to depart ways. And he was like, is this your car? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I feel like God is about to give you a new car. And I was like, don't play with me. And he was like, no, I'm serious. I just feel like the Holy Spirit said God about to give you a new car. I don't know. You know, when I look at this car, it just doesn't look like a Tamika car, but I just feel like God about to give you a new car. Now, mind you, when he was saying this, I wasn't even thinking about the prayer that I had prayed or what I had asked God. I completely had almost forgot about it. But I was still treating the car like it was a new car. And so he said, no, I really feel like God is about to give you a new car. And I'm just like, don't play with me. Don't play with my emotions and all this stuff, because I want a new car, but I don't want to get my hopes up just in case you're not hearing from God. And so when I'm all devastated and it's, you know, 5 years from now, I'm still waiting on my new car. In that amount of time, anybody can get a new car. It don't take God to tell somebody that, you know.
Right.
And so anyway, but when I left there, it was a little small part of me that believed him. But I also knew that, okay, I had this understanding that if God was going to give me a new car, then somehow, shape, form, or fashion, he was going to have to get rid of the car that I'm in.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, the little part that believed him said, God, if you're going to give me a new car, I know you got to get rid of this car. Please don't let me be in the accident. If you got to get the car in the accident, I don't want to be in the car. I know you're going to spare my life, but I just don't want to go through the heartache and the turmoil and the fear and all that stuff. So just don't let me be in the car if you got to get rid of it that way. I don't want to be in the accident. So I left it at that. Boom. 3 days later, I'm driving somewhere with my stepmom, and my dad calls, and he's like, hey, you're going to be mad at me. And I'm like, I'm going to be mad at you. How? Why? He's like, well, I kind of wrecked your car.
Kind of.
Yeah. And I'm like, you kind of what? He's like, well, I kind of wrecked your car. And I said, okay, you know, I'm thinking it's a little fender bender, a little bump, you know. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? He's like, well, it can't drive. I hit a pothole. The whole front end is falling off. The wheel flew off. I'm like, so you're pretty much telling me that I don't have a car to drive. He's like, well, it's not drivable.
Well, yeah.
And so I was pissed. Now, okay, at that time, everybody should say, okay, let it kick in, the whole prophecy. All of that went out the window. I was mad. I was yelling at him, like, you can't take care of anything. You get on my nerves. Oh, my God, nobody told you. Da-da-da-da-da. And God stopped me mid-speech and reminded me of what he told me. The whole thing. You asked me for a new car. I told you, you treat this car like a new car. I'll give you a new car. I sent someone to tell you that the time is now. And then you asked me not to let you be in an accident, so I let your dad be in an accident, not you. And I mean, what can you say to that?
Sorry.
Right? And so I was like, okay, wow. All right, God. Well, so by this time, the car is a 2007 PT Cruiser. This is now 2013. So 2007 PT Cruiser has 90,000 miles on it. It's not really worth nothing. I paid $10,000 for the car.
That's half the age of my car now. If y'all good at math, you know my car is old.
So I'm like, okay, well, whatever they're going to give me for the car, I'm still not going to be able to get a car with that amount of money, blah, 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 blah. Make a long story short, I got a nice substantial amount of money, more than half of what I paid for the car, back for it being, it was totaled at that point. So I got more than half of what I paid for the car back, and I got to keep the car. My dad actually got the car fixed and gave it to my brother. So with that, I was like, okay, God, well, what am I about to do with this money to get a new car? How am I going to get a new car? And every day, you know, my dad would take me to different car dealerships, and I just didn't see the car that I wanted. There were a lot of, you know, cars out there. I had no clue what kind of car I even wanted. You know, when you ask God for something, kind of be clear about what you want. I just knew I wanted a new car. I didn't have a specific car in mind. So a month go past, I still didn't find a new car. 2 months going past, I still didn't find a new car. Now, as you all know, insurance companies only pay up to about 30 days worth of rental car until you find a new car. They give you kind of 30 days to find a new car. If you don't, you got to pay after that. So I'm well past that. But the rental car people, they're not charging me for the price for the rental car for the second month. Every time I go in, I explain to them my situation. The guy, the manager, is just like, don't worry about it. I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Let me know when you find a new car. Another week would go past. He would say, don't worry about it. I got it. Let me know when you find a new car. And I'm like, God, this man ain't charging me. Am I stealing? Like, I didn't, you know, those times you don't know whether it's a blessing or not. And the guy is just like, look, don't worry about it. When you get your new car, you call me, you let me know. I'll take care of it. And so I'm like, okay, you know, I'm trying to figure out what this dude, I'm like, maybe he think I'm cute or something, and he's just trying to, I didn't know. And so anyway, so eventually when the day that I go to the car, one morning I woke up, and the Holy Spirit said, go to the car dealership that you've been going to. Don't take nobody with you. Just go by yourself. So I go by myself, and I get there, and the people know me, recognize me, because I've been there like every day. And they're like, here she come again. What kind of car do you want? So we test drive a couple different cars, and I was getting ready to settle on a Mazda 6, a brand new Mazda 6. It was nice, but it was going to be a settle. I was going to be settling. And when we came back from the test drive, the guy was like, Tamika, what kind of car do you want? You come here every day. What kind of car? So we're sitting in the parking lot, and across from us is this beautiful white Chrysler 300, brand new, sitting in the parking lot. And I was like, that's the kind of car I want right there. Like, why that car can't be on sale? It didn't have any type of price tag on it or anything, or so I thought it belonged to somebody else that works there. And he said, actually, that car is available for sale. We just got it in the lot last night, and we haven't had time to put a price on it. That's why you don't see anything on it, but it is actually for sale. It's very clean. Do you want to test drive it? And I got excited. I said, yeah. So I walk up to the car, and the moment I walk up, I heard the Holy Spirit say, this is your car. And I got in, and I fell in love. Like, you would have thought I was on a roller coaster. I fell in love, little touchscreen, little TV in the front, wood grain, all this stuff, and leather seats. It was super clean, beautiful car, brand new. And I was like, I mean, it was used, but it was, like, very minimally used. Like, I don't know if the person who had the car before just didn't want it no more or whatever, but it was fairly new. Same year, it was a 2013. So after that, I called the rental car people, and I told them, I said, hey, I got my car. I'm going to come bring the rental car back, and the guy was going to bring me back to get my car. And so when I get on the ride back from the rental car place to the car dealership, the manager said, I don't know if I told you this before, but I'm a pastor. The guy told me not to charge you for the rental car. And I almost started crying. You know, I was like, what? He was like, yeah, you know, he was a new pastor in the area. He was building his church. And he was like, you know, I wasn't supposed to charge. So he didn't charge me for the rental car. I had to hold rental car for a whole month. I get to the car dealership to buy my car. They give me the exact price that I wanted. And it was funny because when we first started negotiating the price, they kept saying every time, this is the lowest we can go. We can't go any lower. You're crazy for not accepting it. And God just kept saying, till they give you the price that I've placed in your heart, just tell them you're going home. Every time I would say I'm going home, they would come down on the price $1,000 every single time. And then they finally gave me the price that I wanted. We settled on it, and I had my new car, and I love that car to death. I still got that car today. It's my blessing from God. And people come in, they be like, this is a nice car. I can't even take credit for it. I ain't buy it. God gave it to me. It was a blessing in disguise, but it was also a result of his promise and my obedience to that. I know that was a long story, but
no, but it was necessary, because that's a great example that I could use here to explain the rest of what we're going to be talking about. And so she got a promise from God. You know, she was in her PT Cruiser that she ain't like. And when she describes the original PT Cruiser that she had to me, the one that she ended up with when I met her, it failed horribly in comparison. So, yeah, she got this promise from God for a new car. We talked about, do you believe him? Like, what are your actions that follow your belief? So she believed him. Her process came before her actions could come, though. Her process was her car got wrecked, and not by her, by somebody else. And, I mean, yes, we're thankful because she wasn't in the car accident, but if any of y'all are like me, I don't like people driving my car. So if I decided to let somebody drive my car one day and they get not just get into an accident, but it gets total, that's pretty upsetting, to say the very least. That's very upsetting. And so her process, she went through, before the accident happened, God told her, I'll give you a new car if you take care of this car that you already have as if it's a new car. And I wanted to bring up earlier that anytime God gives a promise, it's always a if you do this, then I'll do that type of thing. When God gave Abraham the promise that he would be a father of many nations, the prerequisite to him receiving that promise was, if you be obedient to me and live your life righteously before me, if you and all of your descendants promise to obey me, then I'll do this. That is, there's always an if you do this, then I'll do this with each promise you have. And so God told her, if you take care of this car like it's a brand new car, then I'll give you a new car. And so that was her process. She was being groomed in order to be able to receive and properly utilize the promise. And so she was committed to that process, even though she said she only did it like 5 times on the first day that God said it. You know, she did it.
When I say I did it 5 times, meaning I was trying to hurry up the process. So I was like, if I do it 5 times today, I get a car tomorrow. That's why. But I continue to do it throughout the rest
of
the
year. And even still, even just that initial thing where you did it 5 times in the same day, that was still your action proving that you believed God's promise.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she went through her grooming process to be able to receive her new car. She was committed to that process because she continued to take care of it. And I can vouch for her. Wasn't nobody allowed to eat in her car. And it may have been junky, but it wasn't like nasty with food everywhere. But she was committed to that process. And so after she was groomed and she was committed, you know, her actions, when her car got totaled and she had this rental car, her actions proved it again when she went out and looked for new cars to see what she liked. So a person that wouldn't believe that God is about to give them a new car, they ain't going to go out and look at potential cars that they might like.
And then, mind you, okay, I had just started a new job, okay, a new full-time job. I had only been on the job I only got paid twice. So I didn't have a whole lot of payment history. I wasn't working full-time prior to that. So it was like I had this couple thousand dollars that I got from the rental car, that I got from the wrecked car. And people kept telling me, so we could just take that and get you a little bucket car, a little cash car. And I was like, no, that ain't a new car to me. You know, God said a new car. He didn't say new to me. He said a new car. So I'm believing that God has intentions to get me a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I could have taken the little money I had and went and got me a little cash car with a couple thousand dollars and boom. But I would not have been satisfied with that. That wasn't what I asked God for. And so also when you're thinking about your promise, when God is fulfilling that, think about what you asked, what exactly did you ask God for, and don't settle for that, and don't let other people's lack of faith dictate what you choose to do with God's promises. There are so many people that was like, just go get your little cash car. Then I didn't think I could afford. Only person that was encouraging me to get a brand spanking new car was my dad. And so I didn't think I could even afford a car because I'm like, I don't have good credit. I don't have a good steady paying job. I only got 2 pay stubs. So I only got paid twice. And so, but God proved me wrong.
And with that, you know, you talk about how I just had it. Or you said, like, not settling. When you think about the example that I gave with Abraham and Sarah, God promised them that they were going to have a baby together, even in the midst of Sarah's barrenness and Abraham's senior citizen status. Like, he promised them, regardless of their natural circumstances. So regardless of Tamika's natural circumstances, not being able to afford it, she had just started working, she had like 0.2 pay stubs, like he still gave her that promise, and she didn't settle. She believed God at his word. With Abraham and Sarah settled. She's like, okay, well, I mean, God, I heard you, but maybe you just made a mistake. Because I'm barren, maybe you forgot that, so I'm going to just let Abraham sleep with Hagar instead. So, I mean, technically he is still having a son, so, I mean, you could just bless him and it'll still come to pass. No, ma'am. So, yeah, that's a good example of what it would have been like if Tamika had chosen to settle. She took God at his word, and she her actions proved that she believed. And also, before I get too far ahead of myself, we got about maybe 15 or 16 more minutes left on the show. If there's anybody who has any comments or concerns, press 1 at any given time. Coach D, if you got to cut me off while I'm talking, go right ahead. And so, I also wanted to talk about the difference between productive waiting and stagnant waiting. A lot of times we think of waiting as I'm just going to sit here and watch the clock and watch the seconds pass and watch the days pass and look at the calendar until the time comes for my promise to get here. Productive waiting means that you're actively going through your process while you wait. When Abraham and Sarah got the promise, even though they initially kind of did their own thing, the promise still came to pass. They still had baby Isaac through Sarah, because what do you do if God gives you a promise that he's going to give you a seed? If you're married, you sleep together and get pregnant. It doesn't just happen by osmosis unless you're Mary, the mother of Jesus, praise God. But she wasn't Mary, she was Sarah. So when you're waiting for God's promise to come to pass, you're not just sitting there with the promise saying, oh yeah, God gonna do it. What are you doing in the process of your waiting? You should be preparing. And so any of you that are listening, I had a few people respond to the question that I posted in the event earlier, and I said I want to hear some of the things that you guys are believing God for. Some people had a list of things. Some people had one specific thing that had to do with their family. I praise God that a lot of people that are listening into the show and follow me on Facebook, they draw encouragement and hope by my story of what God did and how He delivered me from the homosexual lifestyle, because they have members of their family or children or cousins or aunts or uncles or whoever who are dealing with the same thing, and they're believing God to set them free. And so whatever it is that you're believing God for, it could be a car, it could be money, it could be your own business, or it could be something more serious within yourself. You could be believing God to set you free from an addiction. You could be believing God to set you free from a sickness, or anything. Whatever you're believing God for, don't just wait for Him to do it. Believe that He's going to do it, and you need to be active in your waiting. And so if you're believing God to set you free from an addiction to something, what should you be doing? Not still doing what you're addicted to, but trying your best to abstain from it and actively praying and fasting and asking God, hey, I want to be free from this, reading up on scriptures, memorizing different verses that, you know, talk about what you're dealing with, speaking those things over yourself and creating different habits. So if you have an addiction,
Go ahead.
That's good.
Okay. Area code 989, last 43255.
Hello?
Hey.
This is Diane.
How you doing?
Diane.
Good. How are you both?
We're doing well.
Good. I chimed in when I was listening to Tamika's testimony about the car. And even though I'm not believing God for a car, oh my gosh, I'm so encouraged. I'm excited right now because, let's go back to the year of 2009. God, I was in a service. I was in my home church service, and this apostle came from Aruba, Apostle Ray Mosley. And I'm just sitting there, and he flowed in the prophetic. And the night before that, I was talking to my pastor, and I just told him, I want to be married. I want to have a husband again. And mind you, I've gone through two marriages. And we're sitting in the service the next day, and all of a sudden he's telling people, you know, God said you're going to have long health and everything. He just looks at me, and he says, you. And I go, yeah. And he says, you prayed. He goes, you prayed for something specifically, didn't you? And I was like, well, I prayed for a lot of things, you know, specifically. And he said, no, you prayed for a husband. And my mouth dropped. And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, well, God said that He's going to bring you a husband, that this relationship is not going to be like your past relationships, that when a man finds a woman, it's a good thing. And he just started going on and on. So that was the last time I heard anything. You know, I said, okay, and it was 2009. So it wasn't until 2013 I do home care, and I was watching TV. I worked third shift at that time, and I was watching TV, and the man that was on there, that he has what called 23 Minutes in Hell. And I was listening to his testimony, and the man that I took care of was 90-something years old, was an atheist. So after I was watching that, the Lord said, start praying for him now. So I started to pray for him. Like, Lord, just, you know, melt his heart, so on and so on. And then the Lord told me to switch it up and pray for someone else. And I did. I began to pray for him. And all of a sudden I just stopped. You know how, like, you pray, but but then you should also listen to God and what he's going to say. And I was praying in the spirit. I must have been praying for like 3 hours. And all of a sudden God started speaking to me. He started giving me a word. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. That's beautiful. And he goes, yeah, so get your pen out and paper, write it down. It turned out to be a page and a half, and he spoke to me about my husband. It was so beautiful. I just wept when I read it. And it's also scary at the same time. But, you know, every so often I pull it out because I have it written down. And it was April 27th, 2013, when he gave this to me at 5:32 in the morning. And I look at it, and there's doubts that come in my head and say, you know, no, you know, it's not going to come to pass. And I was like, no, God, this is, you said this to me. You didn't say it to anybody else but me. So I look at it and I say, God, I'm still holding on to this word. I still believe it. I still believe it because, you know, he said in there that there's been so much hurt in my heart, and there's so much hurt in his heart. And he said, I'm going to send in the gardener to clean out all the weeds. And he says, and when you begin, the hearts will be cleaned out, and it'll be full of your love for me and love for each other. And he says, and with this, because of your testimony, the way that you're going to come together, because of your testimony, many are going to give their lives to me. You're going to have a great ministry. And he says, many, many will come to the Lord because of your testimony. Many will give their hearts to me because of you too. And it's just beautiful to think about that, because what are past hurts that happen in relationships? And, you know, in my past two marriages, I just, like I said before, I told you guys this, that I jumped from the boiling pot from one to the frying pan. Well, you know, all that baggage came out. And I've asked God, I've worked with God, help me clean out my heart, you know, all those insecurities, all that jealousy, all that nonsense, that combativeness and fighting and thinking I got to be right all the time. Teach me how to be a wife. Teach me how to be a wife to the man of God that you have coming for me. But right. I'm going to tell you what, God has a sense of humor, because we went to the Joyce Meyers conference this weekend, and I'm sitting there, and every day she had something to say, and it just like, oh my gosh. But she said this particular thing on Friday morning, and she was talking about how, you know, she met her husband Dave, and she had already been divorced, and she moved back home, and she had her son, and Dave was actually her brother's friend, and he was coming to pick up her brother, and she was outside washing the car. And
yeah,
he said to her, he goes, hey, when you're done washing that car, you can wash mine. She goes, you can wash your own car, buddy. And then
yeah.
at that moment, you know, God spoke to him and said, that's her. And everybody's like, aw. And she goes, yeah, right. He was dating like four other women. He was trying to find his wife. He was dating other women. But
right.
he prayed and he said, God, give me someone I can help. She says, so for all of you out there that are wanting your spirit-filled holy man holding his Bible, you know, speaking in tongues and everything, don't be surprised if he's not like that. Don't be surprised
right.
that, yeah, he'll give his life to the Lord, but he will be a work in progress, and God's going to use you to help him.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, I wanted the worship leader. You know what I mean? I wanted somebody to sing to me at night. You know what I mean? I was just like, oh, man. Okay, God, I hear you. Okay, I was a work in progress. Okay, I guess I can help somebody else. You know? So that's my take. And I'm just so encouraged, Tamika. Even though yours was about a car, oh, my gosh, it encouraged me. It was good.
Thankful that it encouraged you. I don't tell too many people that story. When
yeah.
I do, okay, it blesses people. I don't
yeah.
tell everybody. The most part is, Tamika got a new car, okay. But I know that it was a promise from God. It was a blessing from God. And
yeah.
I don't take it for granted. So thank you for calling
yeah.
in.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for letting me share. All right, take care.
We have another caller.
Go right
caller.
Ahead.
Caller. area code 479, last four, 2225.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Rhonda from Russellville, Arkansas. Hello.
Hey.
I have to tell you this. I'm trying to be professional and everything, but I am so proud of y'all, man.
Thank you, God, I was like,
how can I talk to them professionally? And the Lord said, just be you, be real. I have to be real. So I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of y'all. I just could cry. And for the lady that just got off of the phone, I mean, wow. I mean, I know it's not my call, but I wanted to share this with her, the one that was talking about how it has taken a lot of time for the stuff, the hurt and the pain to build up on her. Well, it takes time for God to do his healing process as well. So, you know, in due season, all that's going to fall off. And I heard the Lord said that the man is coming quickly. So, I mean, that's amazing that she's still waiting, because let me tell you, when you marry the man before his time, like I did, then you deal with a lot of spiritual warfare. But I asked the Lord to make me a warrior in my process. Since I've been back from our women's retreat, I asked God, Lord, help me to be the warrior that you want me to be. And the Lord has revealed so many things since we've come back from California. He let me know that he used me to bring that man out of the world. Yes, he's going to turn him into, I mean, this godly man, because everybody sees it. When we go places, people are always asking him, is he a preacher? You know, and at church they do, you know, they just say, you know, you just got that anointing on you, like you're about to, I mean, you're getting ready to do things for the Lord. And when we were in California, my husband was running around the church and obeying God, and God was using him while I was in California. Now, I wasn't there to see it, but the people told me when I came back, and we've been at that church for 6 years, and my husband has never stepped outside of his comfort zone. So I'm trying to tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. Definitely wait on God. This is for the last woman that was on that phone. Definitely hear from God, because God actually, I'm in ministry and have been in ministry for years, but I would find when I would date different guys, they would be in ministry, but they weren't sold out, and my struggle was real in my flesh. And so when I wasn't fasting, I would fall a lot. So I, you know, just being transparent. So I finally told God, you know what, Lord, I don't want a preacher. I just want a man that loves you. Just give me somebody that has a heart to serve you and that will love me the way that I need to be loved. And that was my request. And I married a man that wasn't saved at the time, but the process has started on him. Seeds have been sown in him. I'm seeing God change him, and in the process, I'm seeing my husband, who God is still working on, pull in his family members. So now he has his son, and God is working on him, and, I mean, it's just amazing. But I mean, I know that was a whole lot. I didn't mean to say too much, but I'm sharing from my heart. And I just want Tamika and Philandis to know how much I appreciate you for being women of God. And just thank you for coming to the women's retreat, because if you hadn't came, I never would have met you. I look forward to hanging out with y'all again. And I've already talked to my pastor about a future conference, so Philandis, you can get ready. Tamika, I hope you come too.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Oh, we're ready to go.
Y'all definitely get ready.
And before you hang up, Miss Rhonda, while you were talking, God just kind of gave me a little word for you.
Okay.
And so basically, your situation, how you and your husband came together, and
you know, I know that, you know, it's something that you deal with where you say that, where you tell people to be sure before they get married, right? God says
right.
that basically he wants you to change your perspective on how things happen between you and your husband.
Okay.
It's actually a blessing that it happened that way. However it happened, that's how it's supposed to happen. And I see that God is going to be equipping you further for however he's going to use you in your husband's life. Remember that I gave you the word about you two being pieces of sandpaper used to smooth out the edges on each other, right?
Yes.
And so even when you came to the retreat and you met myself and Tamika, that was God using us as ways to equip you further to effectively minister to and act in the role that God is calling you to play in your husband's life. And you're going to reach a lot of women that are in marriages where it looks like it's not going well. I see you being able to turn around marriages where women are, I guess, I don't want to say suffering, but they're in a place where they're not happy or they feel like they made a mistake. God's going to use you to speak to those women, to change their perspectives, and for the enemy's assignment on their marriage to destroy it being canceled because their perspective of their marriage is changed. They're going to get God's perspective through what you share and through your story, and they're going to be able to pray their way through and break off strongholds that were there that they may have entered into the marriage with and also be a source of healing for their husband. So as God continues to equip you and take you through your process with your husband, he's going to have you speaking to and advising and equipping other women who are in marriages where things may not be going as well.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome, and I totally believe it, and I totally receive that.
Amen. And wow. Rhonda, I wanted, even just hearing your testimony, I remember when we were at the retreat, you received the word there that God was even changing your situation at home as we speak.
Yes.
Yep.
And so that word did not return to us void. I was waiting to hear. Actually, you've been on my heart all day today. I was waiting to hear behind that to see, you know, what was the change home, because I remember, I believe
I will
word.
Tell God. You this. I will tell you this. I wasn't going to share it, but I'm going to share it. While I was there, the Lord gave me instructions about some blessed oil, because at the retreat, we were supposed to have a foot washing. We weren't going to have time. God knew it, so I had to take the – I didn't take blessed oil with me, as you know, right? So I had this bottle of vitamin E oil. He gave me two people to use to pray over it. One was the pastor. That was the elderly lady, Miss Mary. She was 76. And then the other one was the exhorter. Her name is Carolyn. And so he said, have them two women to pray over the oil. They could open the bottle of oil up and actually touch it. But my instructions was to sleep with that oil in my hand. So I obeyed God. So I had this little bottle of vitamin E oil in my hand, and I slept with it in my hand that night. And so every time I dropped the oil, I would wake up, because I would have like a bad dream, but the minute I put it back in my hand, the bad dream went away. So long story short, while I had this oil in my hand, I'm dreaming about my husband. Now, he's over 1,000 miles away from me. We're in the California mountains, and he's here in Arkansas. So I'm dreaming, while we were at the retreat, I dreamt that he was at a club. And mind you, I tell you, God used me to pull him out of the world, because that was his old lifestyle. So in my dream, he was in a club, and he was passed out drunk on the couch. And some ladies from the church came and told me, well, hey, Rhonda, your husband is at this place, and they wanted to go in with me. And I told them, no, this is too embarrassing for me. Let me go in and get him by myself. So I went in and got him out of this place, inside this place where there was, like, drinking and stuff, and brought him out of there. And so that dream was so heavy on me when I woke up. It was just, it was crazy because I couldn't shake it off and I couldn't forget about it. So later on, when we actually returned back to the hotel, I called my husband and I was telling him about the dream. And he told me, he said, stop right there. He said, I know that you are special. You don't have to break it down or convince me that you're special. I know that you are. He said, last night, some of my friends from work was trying to get me to go and drink with them, and they kept on. Even after I came home, they kept on. And I thought about you, and I said, no, my wife, I can't do that because my wife wouldn't be happy about it. And he said he didn't go, and he said, I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes, and I know that God is real and that he's talking to you. And then the next day he turned around and he goes to church and he's running around the church and he's obeying God. That's a result of me obeying God, blessing that oil, because obedience brings blessings. That was another revelation I got. The Lord told me if I just do what he tells me to do, he'll take care of my husband. Because I went on bless that bottle of oil, because I told Chandranette, do not throw that bottle away because it's blessed. I couldn't open it up. My instructions was just to hold it. So I told her, when you run out of that oil, just keep refilling it because even the bottle is blessed. for obedience.
Yeah, so. That is so. So we don't want to cut you short. We have a couple more callers that are waiting to get in on the line. But we do appreciate you calling in and sharing that story. It's definitely a blessing. And I hope that Diane was able to get the word that you had for her. I'm so happy for you. I'm excited everything that God is doing for you. And we'll be able to talk later when the show is to get the rest of the details. But we want to give the other callers an opportunity to give what they want to say. We're running out short on time. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Caller, area code 510, the last four is 1275.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Chandranette from California, Manteca, ladies. How are you tonight?
Hey.
Wow. All I'm going to do is say, wow. I don't even need to say what I needed to say because God is just so awesome. And I just, too, appreciate Philandis and you, Tamika. And Rhonda, hi, I heard you. And I'm faithfully using that oil. God's going to do it, you guys. I know it, and I have to hold fast to that. And I just appreciate, again, what all God is doing. And the young lady also in Florida, I want you to continue to be encouraged, and God will continue to order your footsteps. I, too, had two failed marriages before God blessed me with my third husband and final husband. So I am attesting to what God can do. If you allow him to do it, it will be done in his sight. And let me tell you, it will be beautiful in his sight. Not that it's a bed of roses or flowery beds of ease. But I tell you, the husband that God had for me, the husband I have now, is awesome. And I just appreciate what God has done. And the last thing I wanted to, I think I came in right at the end of Tamika's testimony about her car. I want to just put that word out there as well to continue trusting God. Wait patiently for him. Doesn't matter what it looks like, he's going to do it. I desired to be a mother for 22 years, and I went about it all my way of trying to make it happen until God said, I have a different route for you. The end result is I'm still a mother. And so sometimes God takes us a different route from the route that we would anticipate going. But when we trust in him and we say, look, I acknowledge you, God, in all of my ways. I know you told me to do that. I know you're going to direct my path. We better understand that he's going to take us down the path that he wants us to go down. The end result is we're still going to be blessed. The end result is we're still victorious. So I just appreciate, I was not intending on getting on the call until I opened up my Facebook page and there was the message. So I just thank God that I was able to join in on this call. I have to put it on my calendar on Mondays. But thank you both. You guys are, again, awesome, doing an awesome ministry. And I appreciate and love you both so much. Thank you. God bless you all.
We love you too.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, and we have one last call. We have one last call. We have area code 530, last four is 7500. Area code 530, last four, 7500.
Maybe they hung up. Hello?
Okay.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, this is Denise from Sacramento.
Hi.
Hi. Praise the Lord. We got all our sisters on the call. Praise God. But anyway, I was listening to your topic of waiting on the Lord, and you know, it's a big topic. It's more vast than what we probably have time to really discuss tonight. But I was just thinking of all the times that I've ever waited on the Lord and still waiting on the Lord for things to come to pass. And this one incident, and I'm going to try to be brief, came to my mind when I was looking for a car myself. Praise God. Hallelujah. This must be car night. And I was looking for a car myself, and I had told the Lord, I said, I want a Toyota Camry, LE. And I was riding the bus at that time, and he spoke to me, and he said, you don't even know what a LE is. And I didn't. I just knew that I wanted a Toyota Camry LE. So I went to the Toyota dealer, and I found out what the LE stood for, which it means large engine. I didn't even know that. And so it really wasn't in my budget at that time. And so God blessed me with a car that was completely given to me. I didn't have to pay for it. All I had to do was go to a different city and pick it up. And so I went, I got a friend who had a tow truck, actually, that was a member of the church that I was going to at that time. And he drove all the way. It was a 1.5-hour drive from where we live. And he drove and he picked the car up and brought it back free of charge. All I had to do was pay for gas. And so the Lord blessed me free with a car that was free. I didn't have to pay for it or anything. That was, of course, in my budget because there was no charge. And so it taught me a lesson. Like sometimes we get above ourselves in our requests, you know. And it's not a bad thing, but you know, God blesses us with what He knows that we can handle. Because if I hadn't got that Toyota Camry LE at that particular time, I wouldn't have been able to afford to keep it up. So God blessed me with what He knew that I could handle at that time, and I really appreciate that. But even when it was time for me to get a new car, I was able to bless somebody else with that car. I gave it to my niece, just gave it to her. And it was just such a blessing to be able to do that. And so not only are we to receive, but we are to also give, you know. And so I just thank God for being able to wait on Him and, you know, not get upset because, you know, this wasn't the car that I wanted or whatever. And sometimes we can get upset, but we have to really, I think I heard Belinda say at the beginning of the call, is to trust God. And we have to really learn to trust Him. I mean, trust Him, rely on Him, believe Him, and know that He is our Father and He's going to do what's best for us. And so that's exactly what He did for me, and I thank God for that. And now, you know, I'm able – God is just so, so, so amazing. Matter of fact, I texted my sister before I got on the call, Sheba. I texted her, and I said – I just simply said to her, Sheba, God is good. And He is. There is nothing good but God. And I thank God for His blessings. I thank God for teaching me, and I'm sure all of you women of God, how to wait on Him, because it's so important to wait on God. It's important to wait on, because when we jump out of that wait, then we end up getting something that we probably shouldn't have gotten. I don't know. But I'm talking about me. So I just want to say hi to everybody. Hi, Rhonda. Hi, Sandra Ned. Hi, Tamika. Hi, Philandis. Hi, everybody. And you all just be blessed in the Lord. And I look forward to next Monday night. I just I'm really glad that you all are my sisters. Really, I am. So bless you all.
Thank you so much, Denise. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And, you know, before we close up, I'm just going to say I believe that testimonies are prophetic and they give hope to people that need to hear them. I've heard two testimonies now about a new car. My car is 13 years old with almost 200,000 miles on it, so Jesus must be about to give me a new car, too. So anyway, anyway, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I thank every single person that listened in and had a comment. So thank you to my sisters, Rhonda, Ms. Chandranette, Ms. Denise, Ms. Diane, all of you guys. We appreciate you guys calling in, and remember to tune in next Monday at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 9:30 Eastern Standard Time and 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. So, yeah, we're going to close up. Coach D, do you have any last remarks?
Well, I do have one remark. We are a little over, but you have one more caller. Now, she could promise that she could keep her comment down to about a minute. If you guys would take her, then I'll be more than glad to allow, you know, to give that grace. So,
right,
do you want to? 60 seconds. Caller. The last caller for tonight, area code 214, last 4-5545.
Oh, we, yep.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. I'm not a she, but I guess I could wrap it up in a minute. I don't know. who knows?
Sorry.
No, I was just. Hello, how are you guys tonight?
Good.
We're awesome.
Awesome, awesome. My name is Ray Williams. I was just calling, listening to the show, and just think it was an amazing dialogue and thought I'd call in just to say hi. So I guess I can do that in a minute. I think that's been achieved. I'm in agreement with Philandus to get a new car. And, just
thank you.
Great show. Great show.
Thank you.
See, I got to stop me because I'll keep going and we'll be over. So I'm going to just go ahead and stop right here.
Well, thank you, Ray Williams.
You're quite welcome. You guys have a great night.
You have too. A great night, too. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, that will be the close of Relentless Pursuit tonight. We thank everyone for tuning in, and feel free to tune in on tomorrow for Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, as well as Thursday for Processing the Pain at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. We thank you for supporting MCD Network and its family of broadcasts. Have a good evening.
You can text me.
If I do.